Narayanam namaskritya,
Naram chaiva narottamam,
Devim sarasatim vyasam,
Tato jaya mudiraye.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter number. We have a chapter number in the verse. Chapter 12, verse number.
Verse number 31.
Thank you. Verse number 31. This is page number 61. I'm going to read this verse and then we'll chant the next one on 32 because this has no purport. Saraja putro vavrade ashushukla ivo dupaha apuryamana pitribi kashtabir ivason vaham. Translation, as the moon in its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon developed luxuriantly under the care and full facilities of his guardian grandfathers. Text 32. Yakshamano shvamedhena yakshamano shvamedhena gyata droha jihasaya gyati droha jihasaya raja labdadano dadyo raja labdadano dadyo nanyatra karadandayoho nanyatra karadandayoho yakshamano shomedhena kyati droha jihasaya raja labda dano dadyo nanyatra karadandayoho. Please chant. Yakshamano ashwamedhena jati droha jihasaya raja labdha dano dadyo nanyatra karadandayo. Yakshamano shvamedhena gyati droha jihasaya raja labdha dano dadyo nanyatra karadandayoho. Yakshamano shvamedhena yati droha jihasaya raja labdha dano dadyo nanyatra karadandayoho. Vaishnavis, want to chant? Yakshamanaha, desiring to perform, Ashvamedhena, by the horse sacrifice ceremony, Nyati Droha, fighting with kinsmen, Jihasaya, forgetting free, Raja, King Yudhishthira, Labdhadanaha, forgetting some wealth, Dadyao, thought about it. Na anyatra, not otherwise. Karadandayoho, taxes and fines. Translation. Just at this time, King Yudhishthira was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get freed from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there were no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collection. Would you like to repeat?
Just at this time,
King Yudhishthira
was considering performing a horse sacrifice
to get freed from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there were no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collections. Purport. As the Brahmins and Vipras had a right to be subsidized by the state executive head had the right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, the state treasury was exhausted, and therefore there was no surplus fund except the fund from tax collection and fines. Such funds were sufficient only for the state budget, and having no excess fund, the king was anxious to get more wealth in some other way in order to perform the horse sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhishthira wanted to perform this sacrifice under the instruction of Bhishma Dev. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurud Militam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanditam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripasindu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gaur Premanande Haribo. So this verse and purport are especially enlivening to managers, current day managers around the world, to know that there's always a budget crunch. It doesn't matter if you're Maharaj Yudhishthira. There's difficulty getting funds. And there's always some balance going on how to get those funds. And that it's not outside the duty of a particular of a ruler to get funds in order to promote the causes that are meant to elevate the people in general and to manage the society. And so all these go into the realm of practicality in life, that we have two sides to our life. There's the spiritual side and the material side, and they're mixed together. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about how we're a mixture of matter and spirit. He says, Bhumir apu analo vayu kamano pudir evacha ahankara ityame bina prakritir ashtada. That the constituents of this material world are, or the elements which constitute this material world are earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Apare mitas tanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam daryate jagat. Besides these, he says, there is the spirit, which is superior. It's It's above the matter. It's consciousness. It's what observes consciousness. It's what makes consciousness what makes matter important is the observer. Otherwise, there'd be nobody to designate it. There'd be nobody to appreciate it. There'd be nobody to see it unless there was the observer. So that consciousness is there. And Krishna says that we're mixed in with that. Aparyamitastanyam prakritim vidimi param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryatejagat. That we're animating that matter, so we're mixed in with it. So along with our birth, we also carry on with our previous obligations and desires that come as a concomitant part of our subtle and gross body. The gross body is a manifestation of our previous karma called prarabdha, which means that whatever we've done before is now manifest in the fruit of this body, and you've got it now, so live with it. And then there's a whole spool of wound up desires and impressions that come as part of our subtle body. And those impressions and subtle desires act in ways to direct us towards our particular likes and dislikes in this world, and our kinds of, we associate with certain kinds of people because of our disposition, and therefore we create more seeds of desire and more karmic reactions for the future. And this is going on. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Punkte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Gunasangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. We're associating one after another with different modes of material nature. And because of that association, we get good and bad situations, sometimes rising to the heavenly planets. And in those situations, we have long duration of life. We have full access to sensual pleasure. But then, shinye punye martya lokam vishante evam evam. Anyway, you fall back down, you lose those pious, you use them up, and then you come back down to a lower situation, and then by bad association, you incur sinful results and get the reaction, and therefore you go into hellish life. And in this way, there's a rotation through all the different species of life and up and down situations, sadasad yoni janmasu, and you come out in different wombs. You pop out and you don't know where you are. This is Om Ajnana Timirandasya. We come out in darkness and blindness. We're not sure where we came from. But then the light of knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, this is how you got here. This is the situation you're in now. So through managing both sides of our life, we have to elevate ourselves to a higher level. This is the great project of the human form of life, is to make progress to the higher modes of material nature. It cannot be overestimated how important it is to cultivate the mode of goodness. Partiva dharano dumas tasmat agnis traimayaha tamasastu rajas tasmat satvam yad brahmadarshanam. The human life is specifically meant for a cultivation that is rising from the lower modes to the higher modes and coming to the position especially of the satvagun. Because from sattvagun, sattvam yad brahmadarshanam, we can observe Brahman. We can actually see that there's a difference between the body and the self. And this is real knowledge. Kshetraknam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetrishu bharata. Kshetra-kshetraknaya jnanam yatach jnanam matam mama. Krishna says, this is real knowledge when you know the difference between the body and the self. And then when you know the super knower, Krishna, then you're situated in real knowledge. The example given in the Bhagavatam is that there's the raw wood, and above the raw wood is the smoke, and above the smoke there's fire when the blaze comes. So fire is the mode of goodness. It's useful. It makes the factories go. It is meant for fire sacrifices where you can actually offer something to Vishnu, to the tongue of Vishnu. Smoke indicates that there might be something happening. When you see smoke, you think something's going on. But smoke disturbs, whereas fire serves. The mode of passion is a disturbance. It actually keeps us running and the impression that I have when I'm in the mode of passion is that what I'm doing is very important. And it's not. It's not so important. The maintenance of the physical body and trying to increase an arrangement of for happiness of my senses is not so important, and it's not very significant, but this is the nature of the mode of passion. The mode of goodness, I can contemplate and understand that there's a higher purpose to life, and from that position, I can make, through intelligence in the mode of goodness, I can make plans to extricate myself from the material world. Atato Brahma Jignasa. And I can inquire about Brahman. In the mode of ignorance, I simply develop destructive habits, and even if I have an inkling that they're not good for me, I can't stop doing them. So, how to manage our lives in such a way that we can get the best of both worlds? It's not outside the realm of pure devotional service to manage the material side, we'll call it, of your life in a proper way so that you don't get tipped over. That's what the Varnashram system is all about, is to make sure that people have 2 feet on the ground so that they can have balance. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vasudev Dutta, the great devotee who wanted to take on the sinful activities of the sinful reactions of every living entity in the material world so that they could all go back to God, and he agreed to stay here and suffer perpetually on their behalf. Because Vaishnavas are paratukatuki. They suffer because of the sufferings of others. Such an exalted Vaishnav in the direct lila of Lord Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivananda Sen at one point, please go and look out for the daily affairs of Vasudev Datta, because he's so absorbed in devotional service, he gives away all his money, and he's not taking care of his family properly or making any kind of arrangement. And he asked Shivananda Sen, because Shivananda Sen was particularly expert at managing things. He managed the whole team of devotees who would go every year to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri by arranging their lodgings, making sure that everyone got all the way from Navadvip walking to Jagannath Puri, fed and got across all the bridges, and he took care of all those things. So he was expert in that. He was also a pure devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to go look out for Vasudev Dutta and make sure that he had a balance in his life. So this kind of consideration, what we do in any part of our life is indicative of how the rest of our life is going. And we should have a plan for both sides. We should have a plan to make sure that we're balanced. For instance, householders should be solvent, because if they're not, then ultimately they become a burden on the rest of the society. They're actually meant to take care of those who have voluntarily renounced the world in the Varnashram system. There are people who don't have any means because they're so absorbed in reading Shastra and teaching others about it, they don't have time, frankly, to go out and work, whereas the householders do. So the householders are meant to have some kind of balance and some kind of treasury in place so that they can take care of other things and pay for stuff. And that is part of the balance of life. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Nanyaschintayanto mam yejana paripasate tesham nityab yuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham." At the same time, he recommends that we should always think of him. And for someone who's always thinking of him, I'll carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. The balance comes in. There's a statement by Prahlad Maharaj where he says, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishinha nartasya chaganam udhanvati majato nao taptasya tat pratividir yaihanjasheshtas tavad vibo tanupitam twadupekshitanam. He says that a parent cannot actually save the child, cannot save his own child, because oftentimes we find that parents do the best they can to take care of their children. From the very beginning of life, even when they're in the womb, the mother takes prenatal vitamins and wants to make sure that the child is healthy. And as soon as the child comes out, especially nowadays, they're teaching Chinese and Bharatanatyam dancing and every kind of, you know, fencing, whatever the child can learn and absorb. The parent wants the best for the child. But sometimes we find that the child either becomes wayward and, you know, gives up the parents or, you know, becomes ill and dies, or there are many other things that can happen. So Prahlad Maharaj says, in the material equation of life, you may do the best you can, but it doesn't guarantee the result. It doesn't mean that you can actually take care of your child. In a conversation that Prabhupada was having with some people who were around the same age as he was, maybe a little bit younger, and they were arguing for saying that, you know, they needed a little bit longer to renounce, or that they were living, you know, in family life, and that was their obligation. And Prabhupada was saying, one of the men was saying that, well, I have to take care of my daughter in a certain way. And then Prabhupada was arguing for the other side, saying that what if you do take care of a child, does it mean that they'll be happier? Does it mean that they'll actually be protected? And he said, just like a baby, you know, it cries whether you're there or not. And difficulties come even when we do the best we can. So Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. And he also indicates that when we try to save a drowning man on the ocean with a boat, it doesn't necessarily mean we'll be successful. And medicine, he says, you take all the best kinds of medicine, but if it's your time to die or be sick, you're going to get sick anyway. And it's hard to tell anyway when you take medicine if it actually cured you, because everyone you meet says, oh, I have a remedy. Here, take this. Then you take them all, and then you can't figure out what actually worked and what didn't work, oftentimes. And sometimes it does work. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, although we do all these things, so we try to balance our life, we try to protect our children, we try to take care of ourselves materially, we should always have the mentality that, and understanding that if Krishna doesn't take care of us, then there's nothing we can do. If he becomes upeksha, if he becomes indifferent to somebody, then it doesn't matter what you do. Mari Krishna Raki Ke, Raki Krishna Mari Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, then nobody can harm you. And if Krishna wants you to die or take away all your things, then no one can save you. So this is a balance. We do the best we can to maintain ourselves. At the same time, we must constantly think of Krishna and being endeavoring for this position of taking full shelter of Krishna. One of the aspects of surrender to Krishna, which is particularly potent, is that the consideration that Krishna is my protector and maintainer, that he's my maintainer. This particular one, if you cultivate this, that Krishna is my maintainer, is, as I was saying, is a particularly potent method of surrendering to Krishna. Because the tendency is, if you look deep inside and notice what your tendency is, the tendency is, well, speak for myself, my tendency is to think I'm maintaining myself, I'm protecting myself. But consider the fact that, I consider the fact, when I grew up, I really didn't have to do much. My parents took care of me. They gave me everything. They gave me a bicycle. I really wanted a bicycle. They gave me the bicycle. I didn't go out and pay for it or anything like that. He said, it's Christmas. Here's your bicycle. And I think, I got a bike. You know, it just came to me. And, you know, they looked out for all my needs and everything. And then when my parents passed away, I was still okay. And when I, you know, I moved away from my parents, I was still being maintained somehow. In fact, I have a friend. Every time we have a meal together, he says, look, Krishna did it again. He fed us. He fed us again. I've never missed a meal in my life, he says, unless it was voluntarily. And think about it. Nobody misses a meal unless it's, you know, an extreme circumstance. It's very rare. You know, the food comes, the maintenance comes. But still, I'm thinking all the time, I have to protect myself. I have to maintain myself. One of the tenets of surrender is to consider that Krishna is the maintainer. That meditation alone, yadrichcha labasantushto, and this kind of voluntarily accepting those things which come naturally. Yadrichcha means they just come because they're your quota. You're going to get it anyway, Prahlad Maharaj says it's going to come. This is something to meditate on as a householder or any situation of life, that do your level best, but you don't have to go overboard to maintain, because you have to consider yadrichcha labasantushto. Gain will come of its own accord, and Krishna says santushto, be satisfied with that. Learn to be satisfied with that. So this is the ongoing balancing act. We have to maintain the body in a certain way, but not over-maintain it. And that gives us time and the concentration to be able to fully embrace our spiritual practice. As we go through the stages of our life, there'll be different requirements because of the power of the senses, the nature of the mind. And in each one of those stages, we should practically apply Krishna consciousness as much as possible, as much as we possibly can. Turnam nateta napatet. Before the body falls away, before the body falls down and dies, as soon as we recognize it, we should take as full advantage of Krishna consciousness as we possibly can. So where does that leave us? It leaves us in a balancing act. It means that whatever situation you're in now, you maintain it to the best of your ability, but take every single opportunity to fill in the gaps by taking more and more service, especially through hearing and chanting, maintaining sadhana and increasing it. And when you get opportunities to increase your sadhana, for instance, maybe someone invites you to a retreat or to go and sit down for 2 weeks to hear and chant or something, and see if you can arrange that, because these can have a profound breakthrough effect on your life. And you also see that life goes on without me. Even if I take some time and I fully immerse myself in Krishna consciousness, the money comes in anyway, somehow or other, I maintain. And even if it doesn't, I'm still alive and I'm okay. It goes on. And living a life like this of balance and taking every advantage possible whenever we can to increase on the devotional side, because the material side, according to Shastra, you're not going to be able to adjust it very much. And if you do, it's going to pop right back. And if you do, it's a lot of hard work anyway. It's not really worth it. You're going to lose it all in a flash. So invest as much as possible in your spiritual advancement while at the same time maintaining a healthy balance on the material side. That is, yadrishya labasantushto, maintain just so you can stay alert, alive, and healthy to inquire. What is the verse? Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasya tatva jignasya narto yash cheha karmabhi. You should eat to live. Do not live to eat. That's material civilization, is living to eat. And you can observe it if you go out to Palo Alto on a Friday night. Everyone's going, where are we going to eat? You know, it's like, who cares? Just have some khichdi and go chant. You know, make it simple. You don't have to, you know, go around and say, this restaurant, that restaurant. Well, let's read the guide and see what they say. You know, and then it costs, you know how much it costs to go out and eat? It costs hundreds of dollars. I've watched people in there with their whole family and I'm thinking, oh, the poor guy. He's got to pay for everything. Ice cream is like $20. Like, son, we could get a week's supply for $20. But you have to go to a restaurant and eat. And this is a living to eat. And this is a great burden, and it stifles the soul. So we shouldn't live to eat, but we should eat to live. And in that comes the balance whereby we can actually conquer over the material affliction, and we can cross the ocean material existence by taking this approach and go back home, back to Godhead. Go premanande aribo. Any questions or reflections or comments? Yes. Sri Govinda Dato Prabhu.
Thank you very much. Very nice class. I'm just wondering on this, meditating on the point that you mentioned, like difficulty comes anyway, even if we try our best. So in the Arjuna pastime, like although he like conquered in Mahabharata, when he was like trying to protect the wives of Krishna, he was defeated by very Shudras, like those who are just coward boys. So like what should be our mindset in that kind of circumstance when difficulty comes, although we try best? Philosophically understand we need to take shelter, but what all we can do during that time?
The quintessential mindset of the devotee is that Krishna is my benefactor and that he's all good and everything he does is for my benefit. And when we apply ourselves, we do our very best. And whatever result comes, we take that as Krishna's mercy. Whatever result comes, we take that as Krishna's mercy. Whether we're successful or not successful, we don't care. Prabhupada said it many times, even in preaching. He said, whether they take or don't take, that's not up to us. We do our best. So, especially these three meditations, we should always have that Krishna is the Bhuktaram Jagatapasam. He's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. In other words, we're feeding him. Everything should be done for him. And he is the proprietor of everything, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, and Suridam Sarva Bhutam. He's the best. He's our best friend. So, the essence of your question, I think, was that you know, if we do our best and we fail, or the result doesn't come out, then how should we feel, and you know, what should we do? And I mean, look back and it's a perfect example and watch how Prabhupada reacted to many things. I saw a letter recently when devotees were trying to buy some a center somewhere and they got cheated. And, you know, Prabhupada instructed them how to avoid getting cheated or how to get their money back. There's an echo in here. And then... And then it didn't work, and so he said, all right, the money's gone, just move on. You know, move on to the next thing. He wasn't impractical. He didn't, you know, he knew how the material nature worked and that there were possibilities for things going wrong. He did everything he possibly could to protect every farthing of Krishna's. This is the nature of somebody in pure devotional service. They don't want to waste anything of Krishna's. Like Banabhata told me when he was the temple commander in Mayapur, and Prabhupada was there a lot, he said one night he was up on the building, one of the buildings, and Prabhupada called him up. Prabhupada was up in his room. He called Banabhata up, and Banabhata went running up the stairs, and he said, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, see that light? There was a light bulb on across the property, which is, half a mile across. Prabhupada saw someone had left a light bulb in one of the construction projects. It was burning in the middle of the night for no reason. Prabhupada says, light bulb on, go turn it off. So Banabhata was ecstatic. He went running across the field, climbed up the building and turned that light bulb off for Prabhupada. And I read the other day in one of Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada talked about adultery of the tongue. Adultery of the tongue. That if you use your tongue for talking about something that's not related to Krishna or your service, and just for the sake of talking, for your own sense gratification, it's called adultery of the tongue. Doesn't that raise the stakes a little bit more? And so this is the mentality of a pure devotee. He doesn't want to adulter any of the resources that Krishna has given, and does the best possible thing. And then if it doesn't turn out, if Krishna doesn't give the power, then he takes it as Krishna's mercy. You know, it's a way in which we can remember that we're not actually the doers and we're not all powerful. Oftentimes in failure, apparent failure, we find the depths of our conviction. It's in times when we're greatly stressed or pressed by something unimaginable happening in our life. Something that is a great reversal that we never expected, and that happens, and then we actually find out, you know, what are my internal resources? What is the extent of my spiritual acumen? And Prabhupada told about this when he was coming across on the boat. He said he was having these heart attacks and he didn't know what they were. He described how he heard this sound in his ears, and that he felt so sick that he thought, if this happens again one more time, I'm going to die. But he kept going, and Prabhupada was telling us to a room full of his senior devotees, and he was saying that when you're checked in devotional service, but you keep going, this is pure devotional service. When there's some check, but you don't stop. And a devotional service can't be checked. Ahaitukiya pratiyata, whatever situation there is, factually, everyone has the same situations ultimately. You know, we encounter all kinds of difficulties and obstacles. And we all have 24 hours in a day. And we get to decide and prioritize how we're going to use that. Devotional service can't be checked. When I was in New Vrindavan, the Chandrasekhar Prabhu, who is the prison minister, he's the minister of all the ISKCON preaching. He pulled up his van in the parking lot, and he pulled out this 5-foot-tall Vedic temple made of popsicle sticks and matches that a prisoner who had become a devotee, and he has a 25-year sentence in jail, and he had made this beautiful Vedic temple, including a figurine of Prabhupada walking up the steps, and he made it all out of popsicle sticks with no outside tools. He just used paper clips where he had made little notches, and that made little saws and things he could carve everything. It had taken him 3 years to build this thing. And in jail. And so if you're in jail or anywhere else and you decide, I'm going to concentrate on Krishna, I'm going to serve Krishna, by God, you take some popsicle sticks and you make yourself a temple. Yeah, I mean, you know, wherever you are, you have to pick it up and do it. And this is, there's no check to devotional service. Whatever situation you're in, you do it. So when we're checked in our service, when we don't achieve what we thought we were going to achieve, it gives us time to regroup and become stronger. In fact, preaching means going out and fighting. And the higher you climb, the harder the wind blows. You know, when you actually decide more and more that I'm going to risk everything for Krishna, that I'm actually going to surrender, that I'm giving it all up, and then I'm going to push on the movement, even though there's controversy, even though people have different philosophies and everything else, then you have to think a lot more. You have to you really have to deal with a lot more situations. If you just say, I'll let somebody else do it, I'll sit by and criticize while they do it, and I'll just let them do it, you don't have to worry as much because you got nothing. You're not risking anything. You're not putting anything on the line. So when you're going out preaching, doing things, if you fail or if you don't reach the standard, but you're sincere and you're not willing to stop, then you'll find a way and you'll become stronger. And that's how people become mature, is they put it on the line and they try. And everybody who's successful has failed more than most people. That's how they got there. But they were so enthusiastic. I was talking about Steve Jobs the other day because, and he was just a kid out of school, not much school either. He was running around with this invention, which was the precursor to this laptop. And he was showing it to people, running around in bare feet, showing people on El Camino Real with this invention. And he and Steve Wozniak were so excited about it. They took it to Atari, the big company Atari, and they said that, why don't you take this? Hey, look, a postcard from Toronto. And they said, no thanks, we're not interested. And they went through many, many different trials and tribulations. On the material side, you find anybody who's successful in sports or anything else, they practiced until their hands bled. And that's what they were willing to do. So we're not afraid of reversals or, you know, failures and things like that. We take it as Krishna's mercy and we continue. Okay. Any reflection? Yes, Karunath Prabhu.
So after the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform horse sacrifices to counteract the sinful activities. So how can we counteract the sins in life that everybody naturally incurs through different struggles and everything, and how can we find the money in the budget to do that?
Well, it doesn't cost much to chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna, do the Sankirtan Yajna in the simplest of circumstances. And that is the prescribed yajna for this age. Krite yad, what is that? Krite yad jayato vishnum treteyam yachato mukai. Dvapare paricharya yam kalotad harikirtanat. This verse from, 12th canto? Says that what was available through the yajnas and all the other ages and the Satya Yuga through meditation and the Treta Yuga by big sacrifices and the Dwapara Yuga by temple worship and the Kali Yuga is all available for the Sankirtan Yajna. You can get everything from that. I quoted earlier another verse which is similar. Kalim sabaja yantyarya guna gya sarabhagina yatra sankirtane naiva sarvaswarto bilabhyate. That intelligent people, the knowers of what is the essence of life, are appreciating Kali Yuga for the fact that you can get everything by the Sankirtan Yajna in this age. So we can counteract all kinds of sinful reactions and inauspicity in our life by taking fully to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. We don't do it for that purpose. We don't do it simply to counteract sinful reactions. We do it to serve Krishna. And the result is that sinful reactions are taken away. Yes, twindra gopam atavindra mohosukarma bandhanu rupa palabhajanam atunoti karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam govindamari purusham tamaham vajani. Bhakti bhajam cures everything because the problem is sinful life comes from turning away from Krishna, ignoring Krishna. And all the other kinds of yajnas and sacrifice and even types of yoga like karma yoga.